incredible. I have been praying for you, and I have been praying for you and remembering you in prison, and you've been sending me financial support, and that is just the greatest thing. I want to thank you so much for that. It is so great to see all of my dear friends here at Philippi. That is incredible. There's Lydia. Hi, Lydia. There's my friend over there. Is the jailer still here? Is he still worshiping? Hey, how are you? Wow, I'm so happy to see you. Are you still working at the jail?
Yeah, I was able to keep my job, and I'm on break now.
Oh, that's great. Praise God. Dude, you remember that day with Silas?
Oh, God.
He was so scared. You should have seen him. What are you doing? What are you going to be saved? He was freaking out. It was amazing. But God did this awesome, awesome work that day. I am so happy to see all of you here. And if you just give me a few minutes, I just want to share from my heart what I have on my heart for you, dear Philippians. Can we pray together? Right now, let's just pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just pray for my dear friends at this church right now that you would open their hearts, that they would receive the message that I have for them today that I've prayed about. I pray, Heavenly Father, that my words would not be eloquent, they would not be a demonstration of man's power or man's performance, but it would be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that their faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to know that I am filled with joy every time I remember you, because of your partnership in the gospel. You are my partners in the gospel. And you have been my partners from the first day until now. And I want you to know this one thing. God has started a work in you. God has started a work in your life, and He will complete it until Jesus Christ comes back. Are you discouraged in your Christian life? You don't have to be discouraged, because God started a work in you, and God's going to finish it. It's only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, because you've been my partners from the first day until now. And I want you to know that I've been praying for you. And this is my prayer, that your love will abound more and more. And this is how I want it to abound. I want it to abound in moral discernment. I want your love to build up more and more. And the more your love builds up, the more you will be able to discern right from wrong. And you can approve what is morally right, and you can reject what is morally wrong. That you can be filled with the result of God working in your life. I want to tell you about my imprisonment. You know I'm in prison in Rome. It's actually going really well. That might be a strange thing for you to hear me say, but it's actually going really well. And this is why I'm saying that. You see, they have a guard, and the guard changes. You understand how this works. The guard changes every 4 hours. So here I am, this guard, he's stuck with me, and I preach the gospel. And in 4 hours, they switch guards. And I preach the gospel again. And they keep giving me more people to preach the gospel to. And as a result of that, the gospel is spreading throughout the whole guard and to everyone else. And as a result of my imprisonment, your brothers and sisters who know God have far more boldness to preach without fear. Some people are preaching out of bad motives. What is that? Why do you preach the gospel out of bad motives? But some people are. Some people are preaching the gospel out of bad motives. They think they can cause me trouble. But some are preaching out of good motives. You know what? So what? Either way, the gospel is preached. Amen? Either way, the gospel is preached. And this is the most important thing to me. And this is the most important thing to you. The gospel. The gospel. Because all I care about is this. Whether I live or whether I die, I want Christ to be glorified through me. Because to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Come to think of it, I really don't know which one I'd prefer. To depart and be with Christ is so much better. But to stay on here, I can help you. And I've thought about that quite a bit. And because of that, I'd rather stay here. I'd rather stay here to help you. So this is what I want you to do. Philippian church, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that whether I'm with you or back in prison, I can hear that you, the Philippian church, are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want you to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, and that means be united. Be united in Christ. Not alarmed by your opponents. You don't need to be alarmed by your opponents because we're going to win. Amen? Yeah. I want you to know this. To you it has been granted not only to believe in Jesus, but to suffer for Him. Experiencing the same thing that you've seen in me. So, since there is so much encouragement in Christ, so much instruction from His love, so much compassion, so much fellowship, it would bring me so much joy, Philippian church, if you would have the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, but be humble toward one another and put others first. Don't look out for your own interests, but look out for each other's interests. This attitude that I'm talking about is perfectly demonstrated in our Lord Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, but He came down in human form and emptied Himself and became a servant and was found in appearance as a man. And as if that wasn't enough, He humbled Himself even further and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the attitude that I'm talking about. This is the attitude that we all should have. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted Him and gave our Lord Jesus Christ the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, I want you, Philippians, to keep living the Christian life. Keep on living the Christian life every day because God is at work in you to give you the desire and the power to do what He says. God is at work in you to give you the desire and the power to do what He says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be innocent and pure children of God. You see, out there in Philippi and all the Roman Empire, out there it's dark. It's dark. But we are the light of the world. Isn't that what our Lord said? We are the light of the world, and we need to behave in a manner that is above reproach so that we can shine as lights in the dark universe. As we hold tight to the word of truth, the gospel. Hold tight to the word of truth, the gospel, so that when Jesus comes back, I can see that my work among you was not in vain. Because even if my life is poured out as a drink offering, even if my life is sacrificed for you, for your progress and joy in the gospel, I have joy. And I share my joy with all of you. I don't know how many of you know Timothy, but I want to send Timothy to you. Timothy is an amazing, amazing man. I don't have anyone like him. No one with me is like Timothy. Everybody else is concerned about their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy serves Jesus like a son serving his father. Everybody else seems to be distracted by living for themselves. Timothy serves Jesus Christ. I'm going to send him to you. Receive him. I'm also going to send Epaphroditus back to you. You sent Epaphroditus to me, and many of you have been worried about Epaphroditus because you heard that he was sick. He was sick. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and saved me a broken heart. I'm going to send him back to you. I want you to receive him in the Lord and honor men like him because Epaphroditus risked his life to bring me the financial gift that you sent. I'm going to send you Timothy. I'm going to send to you Epaphroditus. I want you to honor these great men of God. But I want to warn you. I've been in Rome, and I've heard about this false teaching that's come in. And I'm really concerned about that false teaching. I want you to beware of this false teaching. It is very dangerous. There are men, and you know who I'm talking about. There are men teaching that you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. Please listen to me. We are the true children of God. We are the true children of God because we put confidence only in Christ and not in good works. You know, come on, think about it. You know who I am. If anyone has reason to boast about their good works, it's me. You guys have heard my story. I was circumcised on the eighth day of my birth, just like the law of Moses commands. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm part of the tribe of Benjamin. As far as zeal, you guys have heard my testimony. Before I became a Christian, I persecuted the church. As far as keeping the law, I was a Pharisee. No one could bring any accusation to me about not keeping the law of Moses. But all of that, I counted as loss compared to a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, everything the world has to offer, everything the world has to offer is garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And to be found in Christ, to be united to Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that I earned by keeping the law, but a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. I want nothing more than to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, being conformed to His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's my goal, and that should be your goal too, and I haven't gotten there yet. There is a finish line, brothers and sisters. There is a finish line awaiting all those who united to Christ at the end, and I haven't gotten to that finish line yet, and neither have you, but I'll tell you what our attitude should be. Forget the past. Forget the past and totally dedicate yourself to the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Philippian church, I look out at you, and some of you were religious. Some of you were sinners. Some of you didn't believe in God. Some of you lived sinful lives. Some of you followed false religions. Forget the past and dedicate yourself totally toward knowing Jesus Christ and the future reward He has for us. Everyone should have that attitude. And if you don't have that attitude, God will work with you. I want you to follow good examples like Timothy and Epaphroditus and Barnabas and Silas and Peter and James. Follow good examples. Because I want to tell you something. Not everybody is dedicated to the gospel. There are people walking. There are people living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their appetite. They glory in their shame. They put their confidence in the flesh. They've set their mind on earthly things. Oh, Philippian church, please listen to me. Don't set your mind on earthly things. I know we're citizens of Rome and we're all proud of that, but please listen to me. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we're eagerly waiting for our Savior who will transform this humble, broken body into a body like His. Our citizenship is in heaven. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on this earth. Well, before I leave, I need to name names. Iodia, Syntyche, I've been hearing about you from prison, that you're not getting along. This breaks my heart. You need to live in harmony in the Lord. Who are the elders here at the Philippian church? If you're an elder at the church, would you raise your hand? Elders, elders. This brother here is an elder. Elder, okay, good. Brothers, help these women. Help these women. They are co-laborers. Help these women to live in harmony in the Lord. Well, before I go, I want to leave you with this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near, Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for His answers. And you will experience God's peace. Be careful about your thinking. There's a lot of lies out there. Be careful about your thinking. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is morally excellent, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I've got to go back to prison now. But before I go, I want to just thank you for your financial gift that you sent with Epaphroditus. Don't worry about him, please. I'm going to send him back. But I want to thank you for your financial gift. But I want to make one thing perfectly clear. God has taught me how to get along without money. He's also taught me how to handle riches. God has taught me how to be poor, and He's taught me how to be rich. In fact, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you did a good thing by sending me a gift. Not that I want the money, I want the benefit that you, Philippians, get from living faithfully for Jesus. And I want you to know that my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen? Listen, I see some of my friends that aren't here today. I want you to greet them. Greet them for me, with me, would you? And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I love you all so much. Take care.
Believe it or not, well, please believe it, understand that that's how church was in the first century. New Testament wasn't written yet. Jesus has just risen and ascended to heaven, and that's how church was conducted by the apostles and by the disciples of Jesus. So I praise the Lord for that reenactment, because where would we be if we didn't ourselves have the scriptures? But even then, so today, Christians still don't have the Bible in their own language. Christians still don't have the Bible because their country, their government, does not allow them to. But I praise the Lord for the One Hope Project that we conduct here and that we support through the Open Doors organization, that every single penny that we raise goes towards the translation and delivering of Bibles to Christians who don't have one, that want one, that don't have one. And we continue to advance the kingdom that way. So in a few months, in the next season, in the summer, May 3rd, we plan to have yet again the One Hope concert, which was a fundraising concert to send Bibles. $5, as you know, sends one Bible to a Christian in their own language that they get to read, that they get to have. They get to read and reread and reread the book of Philippians till their hearts is filled. And right now there's a Christian that doesn't have, if they probably do, it's probably one page or one paragraph from any one of the books of the Bible, and that's all they read. How much more would their lives be like fulfilled and growth in Christ if they had all 66 books of it?